If you came last Sunday for Easter and that was your first Sunday and you're back today, we just want to say thank you for being back with us this morning. Yep. And we say this quite often around here. We promise you that if you think you found the perfect church, we will prove you wrong, all right? This is a church full of regular people who love Jesus and want to grow, and so I'm glad I get to be a part of that. And so if this is your first or second Sunday back, we just want you to make yourself at home and feel welcome, and we just want you to grow, which is what I want to talk to you about this morning. We have been in a series on 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to veer off of that just a little bit this morning, and I want to ask this very simple question: do I want to grow? Personally, do I want to grow in my relationship with God? If I do, there's some things I need to do. There's some things I can do. And so we're going to start with this question, but then I really want us to look at what does the Bible say about what God is doing in our hearts when we accept Christ as our Savior, and then how do we respond to that? And so we're going to take just a few minutes this morning and try to answer that question on a very surface level, but I think it'll get us going in the right direction. Now listen, I know you just sat down. Can you stand back up one more time? All right. And we're going to read the scripture together this morning. We're just going to reverence God's word together. We have two passages, two scriptures we're going to read today. First one's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the second one is Romans chapter 6. And so let's just read it together. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Romans, for we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Amen. Amen. These are some powerful scriptures if we get it. If we lock onto it, these are powerful scriptures for us to get, and it will impact the way we live our lives. And so we're going to take just a minute and say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, let your word speak to me this morning. Father, we thank you today for your word, and we thank you for letting us be together and worship you. Lord, we're asking you over the next few minutes, Lord, speak to us through your word. God, let your word change us, mold us, make us into the people you want us to be. Lord, so that we will be closer to you, more like you when we leave than when we came here today. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can sit down. Amen. So the question is, do I want to grow? We know what Jesus has done for us. These two scriptures talk to us about this. The old is gone, the new is here. At the end of Romans chapter 6, verse 4, now we also may live new lives. Something brand new, something that's been regenerated, happens when we accept Christ. We are changed. He works a miracle in our lives. Now, we love new things. We all love new things. We love a new phone. Don't you love the way a new phone feels when you take it out of that white box, right? And you're just like, I don't even want to put a case on it. I just like the way it feels. And then 5 minutes later, it's busted because you didn't put the case on it, right? We love something new. We love new cars until the first payment comes due. We love new clothes. We love a new hairstyle. I mean, we just love something new. We especially love when something that is old is turned into something that looks new. Here's a couple of examples. We love TV shows that we watch in the dentist's office. Now, you probably don't watch these at home, but shows like Fixer Upper, Flip or Flop, Rehab Addict. I mean, they can take a house that is worth two nickels and turn it into a $5 million house in 30 minutes. I don't know how they do it, but it's miraculous, and we love to see this. It's just fun to us. We love a good weight loss story. I mean, The Biggest Loser was a big show, right? We love that. We kind of got into that show Hoarders a few years ago. We're like, whoo, man, we could help those people, but that looks like a lot of work. But and they would just go in at somebody's house who was packed with garbage, and they would go in and spend a day or two, and they would clean that house out, and all of a sudden it was livable. Something that was old had been turned into something that was new. And that's exactly what God wants to do in our hearts. That's exactly what he wants to do, except he doesn't want an outside force working on your heart. He wants it to be an inside job. He wants to give you a brand new heart. He wants to give you a brand new life. He wants to work from the inside out. He changes us by changing our hearts, by giving us a brand new life. Now, why would he do that? Because you and I could get all cleaned up and people would never know that we had a problem. We can dress up, we can talk a certain way, act a certain way, go certain places, and people would just look at us and say, he's successful or she's successful, and we could put on a front. Happens all the time on social media. You see the pictures and the videos, and you think these people got it all together, their life is perfect, and then when you find out behind the scenes, they're as messed up as we are, all right? And so we could put on a front, we could deal with the outside, but God said, I want to deal with the inside. Now, why would he want to deal with the inside? Mark chapter 7, verse 20 says this. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. Now, you remember when you used to blame somebody else? Remember when you get in trouble and your parents would catch you and you go, hey, well, he did it first. And we immediately want to go, well, it's his fault. They did it. I wasn't going to do it, but they did it, so I had to do it. Listen, here's what the Bible said. You were lying all along. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. It's in there. You and I are just messed up from the inside out. And so the scripture tells us that he starts working on our life from the inside. He gives us a brand new life. Because only the one who created us is able to give us a new life. Let me say it a different way. Only the one who created us is able to fix us. But he does us one better than just fix things. He makes us brand new. The old life is over, and God makes all things new. When we accept Christ, when we surrender our lives to his lordship, make him our Savior, trust him as our Savior, he changes things in our life. He changes our desires. He changes the purpose of our life. He changes the meaning of our life as we see it. He's working in us. Jesus put it this way in John 3:3. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Brand new, starting over, fresh, completely changed. He said, those are the only people who are going to see the kingdom of God, the ones who are born all over again. It's not a remake. It's not a remodel. It's not an outside job. It's an inside job. It's not just an improvement on the old. It's brand new. When God gets a hold of your heart, he changes you into something that is brand new. Now, it's nothing for us to be arrogant about because we didn't do it. We didn't make the change. We didn't change ourselves, because if it was up to us, we'd still be in the same predicament we were in before we met Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 36 really lays it out. He said, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." Do you remember when you had a stony, stubborn heart? Yeah, when your heart was just like a rock, and you're just going to do it your way, you're going to live the way you want to live, and God is like, I got a better way, I got a better plan, and you're just giving him the elbow, get away, I don't need you. It's that stony, stubborn heart. He said, I want to change something. I want to give you brand new meaning, and I want to give you brand new purpose in your life. Now, if any person, the Bible tells us, is in Christ, that person is a new creation, a brand new creation. Now listen, if we could go back and look at your life and my life before Christ, we would go, we were pretty messed up. But we look after we met Jesus and we go, well, I still got some issues now. I'm not exactly perfect today. And so we could go, well, maybe I wasn't really changed. Maybe nothing really happened. But here's the deal. When he gave you a new life, he made you a new creation. When you were born again, he changed your desire from the old direction you were going toward him. He drew your heart toward him. And so as you're moving toward him, things are changing in your life. Now, remember, it's an inside thing. He's working on the inside. He is changing us from the inside out. Because we can do what we can buy books and we can go to classes and we can work on ourselves and we can stand in the front of the spiritual mirror and flex all day, and it's not going to mean anything if God is not working on the inside. We trust Him to do the work on the inside. Now, God can give us a brand new heart, and then we can respond by refusing to grow as a disciple. We don't have to grow as a disciple. It's our choice. We get to make that decision. I know God changed me. I know I'm different. I know my life has been saved. I know that I've been redeemed. I know Jesus is my Savior. I know Jesus is my Lord. But I have to choose to follow Him and grow in my relationship with God. So I'm just going to give you two ways to respond to this new life. How should we respond? Just two things. Make it simple. Number one, trust God and live in newness. That's number one. Trust God and live in newness. So how do you trust God? Well, you trust God by saying, I don't have to live in the past. I don't have to live with regret for my past mistakes. I'm not going to live with guilt from my past wrongs. I'm not going to live saying, I should have done this, I shouldn't have done that. But I'm going to live my life today. I'm going to trust God that He did what He said He was going to do, and He took care of my past, and He gave me a new heart. I'm going to actually trust Him when He says that. I talk to people quite often that say something like this. I know I prayed the prayer. I know I want Jesus to be Lord of my life, but I'm just not sure. Well, the Bible is very plain. The Bible tells us, and we're going to go through the ABCs real quick of salvation. The Bible tells us we have to admit that we've sinned. We have to admit our failure as a human. We got to say, Lord, I messed up. I'm a sinner. We got to then B, we got to believe in Jesus. Who is He? He's the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. He came for us, died for us. So I admit my sins. I believe in Jesus and who He said He was. And then I confess Him as Lord of my life. Now look, if you've done those three things, and the Bible tells us that's the way to salvation. We do those things, we're saved. We're saved. Now listen, Satan's not going to let you off the hook and go, well, okay, now that you're saved, I guess I got to leave you alone. Wouldn't that be cool? That'd just be amazing. That's not the way it is. The Bible says that He is the accuser of the brothers. Satan is the one accusing you. He's saying stuff like, you got a past. And you're like, I know. Whew. Boy, do I know. I made some bad choices. Satan's just reminding you constantly. Now then we've got to decide, am I going to trust God and live in this newness, or am I just going to live back here in regret and fear and anxiety and worry about what I've done and where I came from? Or am I going to say, Lord, I'm ready? You know, the perfect analogy to me is a caterpillar that turns into a butterfly. You never see a caterpillar that has been transformed into a butterfly crawling everywhere he goes. You see caterpillars crawl. You see butterflies fly. If a butterfly is crawling very far, something's wrong. And I believe that happens to some of us as believers in Christ. He made us new. He changed us from the inside out, and we refuse to believe it, so we're just going to keep on crawling. I'm never going to step out in faith. I don't think I'm worth it. I don't think I'm worthy. I'm just going to keep crawling and try not to draw any attention. Imagine when you see a caterpillar, when you were a little kid, you saw a caterpillar, and what would you do? You would catch them and put them in a jar. But when you see butterflies, you'd be like, oh, they're so beautiful. Oh, look at these. Look at these. The colors. We love that stuff, right? And yet some of us have chosen to live our lives as caterpillars instead of tapping into what God has done in our life. He wants us to grow. Now, God has forgiven us all of our sins. Hebrews 8:12 says, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sin. So if you were to ask God about your past, He would go, what are you talking about? I don't remember that. What are we talking about again? You know, God, when I was doing all the stuff I was doing, and He'd be like, I'm sorry, I don't remember all that. And I will forgive their wickedness. Yeah. and I will never again remember their sins. It's funny how God can't remember the worst stuff you did. He was there with you when you did that stupid stuff. And now you ask him and he goes, I don't know. I don't remember all that stuff. I just know you for what you are now. I know you for who I turned you into. That's who I know you as. Don't you love it when you, and this happens quite often around here too, I will meet somebody and they have committed their life to Christ, and God, you can tell God is just working and changing them, and then they will bring somebody to church with them from their old life. I always love this moment. And I always get this little joke in, like, we'll talk later. I want to get the real story on them, right? And everybody's eyes go, oh, God, please don't do it. Please don't tell them. Please don't tell them that. Because here's what we do. We know where we came from. We know who we are. We know what we're capable of. And God is saying, I turned you into something that is brand new. The Bible says, in Christ, you are a new creation. You're a new creation. I can now face life with confidence because of Jesus. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. The Bible says this, don't grieve like people who have no hope. Well, if you're living like a caterpillar, you got no hope because something's going to eat you or turn you into bait, one or the other. I mean, it's just the way it is. And so when we live that way, we're grieving in our spirit. We're living as if we have no hope. And he's saying, don't do that. And Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said that. I came so you could have life and have it more abundantly, not so you could drag your past through your life. He said, I came to change things. If you're a believer today, then you're a child of a king. You can live like you're a child of the king. Now, this is not a self-indulgent, spoiled child thing, but this is very simply saying you have access to the things the king has access to. You know, when my kids were little, not one time did they ever come to the kitchen table for dinner and go, Father, I'm not worthy of these hamburgers and hot dogs. That would just be dumb, wouldn't it? I would be like, what planet are you on? And I never saw them open up the Xbox and go, Dad, I'm just not worthy. Can you just unplug it? Just unplug it. That would be crazy. It just doesn't happen. Why? Because they knew they were loved and they knew who they belonged to. And as believers in Christ, if we know we are loved and we know who we belong to, then we can trust God and we can walk in this newness and we can have this kind of life of love and abundance. Not just abundance of money. That's not what this is about. This is about God working in our lives, our spiritual journey. He wants us to grow. So listen, God is working in your life right now. Are you cooperating with him or not? God is saying, I want to take you to the next level of your life here. And you're going, I don't know, God. I'm just not worthy. Now, you'd never say those words. But if you're never moving forward, something's going on. So if we just live as if God is defeated and we forget to trust him and live in this newness, we never get where he wants us to go. We just sort of sit back and wait for stuff to happen. Now remember, the change that happened in your life, that was God's deal. That was God's responsibility, all right? Ours is the choice. God can change us, but it's our choice of whether or not we want to grow. We get to make that decision. So when he is working in our lives, he wants to get us to a place of freedom. He created us brand new, and now he wants us to walk in that freedom, which is number two. If you're going to have a relationship with God, walk in freedom. Trust him to help you with this every single day. Look at what the scripture says. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family. I'm going to slow down. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son, capital S, Jesus, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. He said, look, you're not, you might have been a slave to sin at one point in your life, But Jesus found you and Jesus transformed you from the inside out. You're not a temporary member of the family. You're a permanent member of the family. A son is a permanent member of the family. And when Jesus sets you free, you're free indeed. There's a beautiful picture in Luke chapter 15, the story of the lost son, the prodigal son. And he leaves home and takes a bunch of the money, the family's money with him, and wastes it, and wakes up one day in a pig pen. Just his life has completely failed. But all along, his father has been waiting for him to come back. And the Bible says he saw him and he embraced him. He threw a party for him. He gave him all the rights of a son back. And he just cared for him and loved him. Now look, he made mistakes and he messed up. But the father, his earthly father, was still watching down the road, expecting him to come home. Because no matter how bad that son had been, he was still a permanent son. He was still a permanent member of that family. So I want to challenge you today to walk in freedom, knowing that God is the one who loves you. And then when God sets you free, when Jesus sets you free, you are truly free from all of your past, all the addictions of the past, all the habits of the past, all the cycles of the past. He will set you free and help you. Now that doesn't mean we're not going to have some struggles in that. But he's changed our heart. He's changed our mind. The Bible says he's transformed our mind. We desire him now instead of desiring just to please ourselves like we used to. We're not just going to desire to numb out like we once did and just do things that are going to make us feel good in the moment. We desire God. We desire his will. We desire the things he has for us. And when we choose that and we walk in that freedom, we grow. We grow step by step by step by step. Now I'm going to close with this. I want to give you four things, tools that I believe are going to help you walk in freedom. All right? These are all scriptural things. Four things that are going to help you walk in freedom every single day. They're very simple, but necessary. If you've accepted Christ and you're sort of spinning your wheels a little bit. You know, you want to get going, but you don't know exactly what to do. These four things will help you get some traction and live in freedom and grow in your journey every day. First one is church family. Church family. You have to have people around you who love you, but will be honest with you, who will care for you, who will pray for you and encourage you. The Bible says it over and over again. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Bear one another's burdens. Confess your sins to one another. If you don't have those people in your life, it's time to get them in your life. Because I will promise you this, if you do not have those people in your life, you are spinning your spiritual wheels. We need other people. There is no such thing as walking this Christian life in a positive way by yourself. Cannot be done. God did not design it that way. He put us in groups. He told us to build friendships. He told us to be together. He told us that when we are together, he is there. He meets us. He is working. When we're doing this together, he is helping us. If you don't have that, you got to get that in your life, all right? Now, and there's so many ways. I'm not even going to try to explain all those ways that right here at Grace Point that you can do that. But there's ways to get involved and ways to get plugged in. Check the website and the app and all that stuff when you get out of here, all right? And find a way to get plugged in. Now, here's the second one, Scripture. The Bible says our faith is built as we hear God's Word. That's why we're standing up and reading God's Word lately. Something I believe God's been dealing with me and our church about is that we say, Lord, I know your word is true. I trust your word. Let me reverence your word. Let me open the book. Let me find out what it says. Let me see how to apply this to my life. But I also understand that if you've never read the Bible, it can be a little bit intimidating. Especially if you pick the King James Version and you start out with the these and thous and therefores and all that, okay? Listen, I've been walking with the Lord a long time. and the these and thou still intimidate me sometimes, all right? So here's the deal. If you don't know how to read Scripture, that's why church family is so important. That's why you need people in your life that are a step ahead of you to help you understand it, to show you where to start, to help you understand how to read it and how to study it and what to do with it. That's why it's so important. So if you don't have a Bible this morning, if you'll see me after church, we'll get you a Bible real quick, okay? I want you to have a Bible. So the next one is prayer. Prayer. Prayer is very simple. Just talk to God. It's just spending time with God. Just saying, Lord, I want to honor you. I want to worship you. I need your help. Prayer is about humility. Prayer is saying, I'm in too deep to do this by myself. I need your help, Lord. I cannot do this by myself. Prayer is saying, Lord, I want to invite you in. Now listen, don't compare your prayer life to somebody else's prayer life. I've been praying in public for, I don't even know, decades now, and there are certain people that still intimidate me. I've had those people in my life, when they start praying, you're like, I know God just like rose to attention. He's listening. I mean, he's just, you can just feel it. You just know it. And it's just like, whoo, man. I mean, my dad is one of those people. When he starts praying, you're like, man, I don't even know if I know God anymore. You know, when I compare it to him, I can't compare it to him. If you compare it to somebody else, you're going to quit praying. Don't be comparing. All right? Just start talking to God. Start talking to God. Spend a little bit of time worshiping. God, I just want to thank you for what you're doing. God, I know who you are. I know how great you are. Thank you for being who you are. Here's some stuff I'm struggling with. Here's some stuff my family needs. I'm asking for your help today. Just start the journey of prayer. Start the journey of prayer. You have to lean into him, all right? And here's the fourth one, testimony. We're made overcomers. Here's what the Bible says about testimony. We're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb, that's his part. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood. The Bible calls him the Lamb of God. He died so we could be saved. So that part of it is his part. He takes care of that. Our part is, if you want to be an overcomer, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What is that? It's very simple. Tell somebody about what God has done for you. Tell somebody what God has done for you. Now, not tell somebody you got all the answers. Sometimes I've been intimidated to say, here's what God has done for me, because I'm afraid they're going to ask me 27 questions that I don't know the answer to. But I've learned a special way to answer those people. When they ask me a question I don't know the answer to, I say, I don't know. It works real good. Because my testimony is not, I got the world figured out and I got every answer from the book and I just, you know, I'm just a walking, and I almost said walking encyclopedia. I'm a walking Google. I'm not that person. I'm not that person. But I can tell you what God's done for me. I can tell you how it lines up with God's word in my life, what he's done in my life and how he's changed me from the inside out. I can tell you about that. So you got to tell somebody about your relationship with the Lord. It doesn't mean you got to give them a sermon. Maybe it's as simple as, hey, man, I've been going to church and my life is changing and I want you to come with me. That's a testimony. That's where it starts. It might get more in depth. But just very simply to share your faith with somebody. So four things. Again, church family, you got to have people in your life who love you but are not impressed with you so they can be honest with you and help you. All right? You got to have Scripture in your life. Got to have Scripture in your life. You got to pray, spend time praying, and you got to tell some people about this journey you're having with the Lord. And that those four things are going to give you some traction along the way so that your life is not just sitting in one spot. So that the sacrifice Jesus made and the change he made in your heart is not just sitting there. But the change he made is propelling you forward and bringing honor to him. And here's what we're going to pray. If I had a barrel up here today, a wooden barrel, and it's got, let's say, 25 slats, vertical slats all the way around it, and one of those slats is cut halfway, And so every time you fill it up with water, the water runs out where that low slat is. And you're like, I just want to fill up the barrel, but I can't because of the short one there. It won't let me fill it up. It just keeps running out. If these four things were slats in that barrel, answer this question real quick. Which one of those is the short slat in your life right now? Which one of those is the lowest in the spiritual barrel of your life? Is it church family? Are you just coming on Sunday mornings and sneaking out real quick? Or are you getting to know some people? Or is scripture, you're like, I haven't read the Bible. I don't know how to read the Bible. That's the short slat. The prayer, I haven't been praying. That's the shortest one in my life. Or testimony, that one's way down there. I haven't even thought about that. So what is the shortest one in your life? Because here's the deal. If you want to grow the volume of your life, you gotta build those up so that you can fill it up and make sure that you're growing. And so as you raise those up, then you're going to find out, let's just say church family is the short slat on your life. And you start working on that, and you're like, I'm going to start spending more time with people. I'm going to start asking people more questions. I'm going to find somebody to pray with me. I'm going to grow in this. I'm going to get involved in these different areas of church. And you build that one up. And then you find out, well, you know, my testimony thing, that's kind of a low one. That's keeping the volume down in my life. So let me work on that one. Now you're going to be working on all four of them. But it might be that as you keep raising those slats, little by little by little, one day you look back and you go, wow, I'm different. It's changed. It's changed my life. I'm growing in a different way. My life has a different volume than it once had because I'm working on these things. Jesus makes the change in our heart. We have the choice of what we're going to do with that change. And so what is God taking you? How's God working? Where is God taking you? And which one of these is the low slat of your life right now that'll give you the most return the quickest? Stand with me if you would. Amen. Listen, we're going to start here. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't allowed him to make the change from the inside out, if you haven't trusted him, I want you to do that today. It'll be the most important decision you ever make, hands down, to this point of your life and forward. It'll be the most important decision you will ever make is to surrender your life to Christ. Admit you've sinned, believe in Jesus, confess him as Lord of your life. Let that be your starting point, and let God you're just surrendering. God, I'm doing it my way. I'm ready to start doing it your way. Or maybe you're at that point where you were a little farther down the road and God's already started working in your life, and you know that things are different and things have started changing, but I got to get some traction here. I got to start moving ahead. I can't just sit still. I got to move ahead. Which one of these is the place to start? Where are you going to start? And I don't mean next year. I mean today. All right? It might be that you church family is the low one on your barrel. And I would even challenge you before you get out of here today, look at somebody that's got their Bible under their arm just like this. Somebody, their Bible's a little bit beat up, and you go, I don't know. I don't even know them. And just walk up there and be dumb and go, I need some help. I got to get some traction. I don't know everybody here, but I'm ready. I'm ready for God to do something in my life. And I promise you this, that'll be your starting point, but God is going to get involved in a way, and he's going to multiply it beyond what you're able to do. So if you don't know Jesus, let's surrender to him today. And if you already know Christ, but you're ready to get some traction, which one of these are we going to be working on? Father, we thank you so much for your grace. And God, we know you've been so good to us, and you've walked with us and helped us and blessed us every single step of the way. And God, we thank you for changing our hearts. It has nothing to do with our ability, but just only what you have done in us that has made the difference. Lord, I pray for those that don't know you, that they would know you today. And Lord, those that know you and ready to make another step in the right direction, Lord, get some traction, I pray that you would help them to move forward in that area that will give them the most return in the quickest fashion. And we thank you, God, for what you're going to do. And we pray for your help and your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them some praise, everybody.